I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Listen carefully. He is ascended.
He is ascended indeed.
Alleluia. This important thing that happened before Pentecost, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, ascended and is at the right hand of God the Father. And we'll be thinking of that in the Bible text tonight in the sermon. And we praise him. We sing our first hymn, 492. Congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of worship printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light that no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And illumine your church.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. Clap your hands, all peoples.
Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared.
A great king over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us.
And nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us.
The pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout.
The Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises.
Sing praises to our king. Sing praises.
For God is the king of all the earth.
Sing praises with a psalm.
God reigns over the nations.
God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham.
For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascend into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind and continually dwell there with him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The first reading is from Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
The choir can come forwards for the anthem.
Thank you. As we will think about and reflect in the sermon, what we read in Revelation chapter 5 is heaven's side of Jesus ascending into heaven and saying, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Our New Testament reading is from Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within, and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with one loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is from Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. We sing hymn 494. Sermon this evening meditates on all three of these readings. To start, I reread from the reading from Luke chapter 24. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If we have gone to Sunday school as children or been brought up in the church for a long time, those narratives, the stories of the birth of Jesus in Luke and in Matthew 1, and then also his death and suffering and death and resurrection in the Gospels. These narratives we know very well. And we spend time in services celebrating what Jesus has done for us, and that he is both God and man, born of the Virgin Mary. This narrative, which is found in several places in Scripture, we don't always think about so often or celebrate, but it's very good to. For this is part of our salvation, that Jesus ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of God the Father. We think a few things. What happened on Ascension Day? Well, Jesus left earth. And he bodily ascended into heaven, body and soul into heaven. And as I think about a couple of these things, there's a little bit of a contrast to the Christmas narrative. If we think about it, he was born of the Virgin Mary. He bodily came to life in this earth, first being carried in the womb of Mary for 9 months, and then being born. And now he has, for about 33 years, carried out his life and ministry, and he is bodily leaving this earth in this text. Now, as I read this text and other texts too, there's kind of a contrast or difference between this and the Christmas narrative. Do you remember the Christmas narrative? And there were shepherds abiding with their flocks by night. And lo, behold, the glory of the Lord came, an angel came, and the heavenly choir was there. And they were filled with fear. It wasn't quiet, it was very loud and surprising and scary. And I can imagine that the shepherds were like almost fainting. They didn't faint, it doesn't say they fainted, but almost fainting. What is all this around us? What is going on? But this text, now he is victor and he is ascending into heaven, and they're looking, and it seems to me like it's very quiet. And two angels are right by them, and they say, what are you doing standing looking up into heaven? This Jesus, the way he went into heaven, he will come back to you again. And they went off to Jerusalem and were worshiping God. Very quiet. Really kind of different than what we read of the angels coming to the shepherds. Now, in both scenes, in the Christmas narrative and in this, the Ascension, an angel, or in this case, two angels, explain to the people what's going on. We remember at Christmas time, at that time, then the angel comes and delivers this great message. This son of David, this baby is born to you and for all people. Go, look in Bethlehem, go. There's a baby there. He explains to the people, to the shepherds, what's going on. Here also, two angels explain to the disciples what's going on. He's gone into heaven. You're looking up into heaven, but he's gone now. But he'll come back. And so there's an explanation of Jesus coming down to earth bodily, born of the Virgin Mary, and then also ascending from earth bodily. The angels, as he said, and as Jesus said, and as it's prophesied many places, he will return. He will return visibly. That is part of the Christian faith. And even though he is bodily gone and is at the right hand of God the Father, he is still with us. His presence is with us. He promised. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But so we're not left all alone. He is still with us in a certain way. So Jesus left the earth that day, but heaven received him that day. And the way John sees and records the vision, it appears as if heaven was waiting for Jesus to return, waiting for the victor. As John says, and this, it is God the Father sitting on the throne, and God the Father sitting on the throne with a scroll in his hand, And there goes up a call, who's worthy to open the scroll? And as you read through Revelation, the scroll actually has the history, the upcoming history and rule of the Christian church and the visions of that. But who's worthy to open that? And John, it was so important, John began to weep, he says. And the elders, one of the elders said, don't weep. Look, look who's come, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, and he will open the scroll. This is something meant for the Lamb of God to do once he has suffered and died and now ascended and risen and now ascended into heaven. Stephen, he was offered a chance to see Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. It's a little bit later in Acts chapter 7, still that very early days of the Christian church. Stephen was chosen as one of the seven deacons to help the apostles. And yet he was a great preacher and a great witness. And he was drawn to witness to all the Jews there. And what we hear of Stephen is that he is the first Christian martyr. He's the first one to die for the faith. But as he was dying, he was given the chance to look into heaven and to see Jesus. Now he's ascended already. Now Pentecost has come, and Stephen sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father. I read a few verses from Acts 7. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Stephen had seen, when was given to see, that now Jesus has ascended and he looks into heaven and sees Jesus there at the right hand of the Father. Heaven received Jesus. Heaven received the conqueror, the victor, who would rule the church. Now, the days leading up to his ascension, and that a very ascension day as well, Jesus explained to his disciples that he has a task for them. They are his witnesses. And he opened their minds to the scriptures to understand the scriptures well. He had been teaching them, and it's recorded in many places in the Gospels. But he opens their minds so they fully understand, because we know that oftentimes during his 3 years of ministry, they were like, yes, you are the Christ, and then they're afraid and or they're confused and they're not sure. But he opens their minds so that they understand. And in this, it's a lovely thing that how it, Jesus says it and Luke records it. He says, everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. In that threefold statement, that is how the Jews saw the whole Old Testament, the five books of Moses, the Torah, all the prophets and the Psalms. And oftentimes they use the Psalms to cover Proverbs and Ecclesiastes as well, the wisdom literature. And Jesus says, everything written about me, I give into your minds, and you're going to understand it. And he leaves that writing for us, those in his day, and even for us. And he says then, so the Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And he says this phrase, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You see that repentance and forgiveness of sins? That is both the law, repentance for our sins, and the forgiveness of sins, the gospel. Both law and gospel would be proclaimed, he says, in his name to all nations, to all the world. That's the task that Jesus gave. So Jesus left them to make disciples. He gave them all scriptures, and he gave them the task to apply the scriptures to every situation. When you think about it, he says, teach everything I have commanded you to all nations. That means make sense of it. Tell them, apply it in all situations. This is a big task he had given those first disciples. And he gave them speaking forgiveness to one another. And he gave them baptism. And he gave them the Lord's Supper. This Ascension Day is like a victory coronation, receiving the victor in heaven. And now he's going to take up his reign and rule. And in Revelation, he unrolls, he opens the history of the world to come as the church goes through many years. He is reigning. Are we left alone and behind? No. He told his disciples very clearly before he died and also right before he ascended, I will send you the Holy Spirit. And remember, we've talked about it, the Holy Spirit, that word there in John, the paraclete, the comforter, the advisor, the counselor. I will send you the one that will help you with all wisdom and strength, knowledge. And Jesus has given us his teachings, which he put into the minds of those first disciples so that they would know it and understand it and teach it and write it down well. He gave his baptism. He gave his supper in which he says, this is my body which you are eating. This is my blood which you are taking and drinking. I'm with you. And in that special way, he remains with us through the power of his word and promise. Jesus, in many occasions, then told his disciples, and you must love one another. He washed the disciples' feet that night before he died. You also must serve one another. And he taught many things about how the servant is not above the master, but the master takes care of his people, so they would also should take care of one another. And John is very strong on this in his epistles. Love one another. And as we love one another, God's love abides in us, we also love one another. God loves and cares for us daily through one another as well. And Jesus promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. I am with you. He has bodily ascended into heaven. And yet, in the very special and powerful ways that blesses us, he is still with us. And he gives us this task, to love one another and to bear witness to what he has done for all people. The angels and the people singing in heaven, they sang that this is he who, I'm going to see it, find the passage again. Verse 11 out of the Revelation 5. John wrote, then I looked and I heard around the throne, verse 9, the new song. They sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. Jesus has received into heaven, and heaven says, you have conquered, you have redeemed, you have ransomed people from all nations and languages and tribes. And it's those very people that we are a part of that Jesus calls us also to witness to others as well. That is part of his reign. Is this witness, this task that he gives us as we love one another. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to conquer sin and Satan and death, and to be received by you in all of heaven as our conqueror, as our Savior. Give us strength and hope every day, knowing that your Son, Jesus, is ruling over us, knowing that your Holy Spirit lives with us and in us, and that we have hope that Jesus will return again bodily to take us to your house, to take us to your kingdom in heaven. And give us your grace through the words of Jesus recorded through his baptism and Lord's Supper, so that we will remain faithful and we will be ready to lift up our heads and receive him with great joy when he returns again. In the name of Jesus we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church is printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For eyes of faith fixed on Jesus, who is seated at the Lord's right hand, ruling in the midst of his enemies, that we may have no fear of them, but abide in Christ's peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For an increase of faith, knowledge, and wisdom, that God would open our minds to understand the Scriptures and see Christ proclaimed throughout his holy word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our homes, that God who established Jesus at his right hand would give him as companion and consolation to those who live alone, strengthen the love of husbands and wives, and bless parents and children as they gather around his word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the rulers, authorities, powers, and dominions of this world, that mindful of Christ who reigns far above them, they might govern with wisdom and integrity. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who despair of possessing forgiveness, that God would comfort them with the news that Christ is their high priest forever, full of grace and life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen. Amen.
Invited to stand or sit for our final hymn, 919.